From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Jeff Bridges' portrayal of the dude in The Big Lebowski has earned a strong cult following in the years since the film debuted in 1998. The dude's face is on T-shirts, his words iconic, and his laid-back, take-it-easy way idolized by many. Jeff Bridges, the man, is not the dude. But he's had a long interest in Zen Buddhism. His friend, Bernie Glassman, is a big Zen teacher. They're out with a new book on life and how to live it. This hour, On Point, the dude and the Zen master. Here's a little scene from the 1998 Coen Brothers film, The Big Lebowski. Protagonist Jeffrey, the dude Lebowski, played by my guest Jeff Bridges, meets another Jeffrey Lebowski, a.k.a. the Big Lebowski, played by David Huddleston. And the dude has a tough time explaining how their identities have been mistaken for each other.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? His dudeness, or duder, or, you know, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
El Duderino, and it gets out there. There's an enlightened character in the film, the stranger, narrator of the film, played by Sam Elliott in The Big Lebowski. When the dude is at his worst moment, under the threat of harm from a violent German techno band, the narrator, stranger, helps restore the dude's cool.
How you doing there, dude?
Not too good, man.
One of those days, huh?
Yeah.
Well, a wiser fellow than myself once said, sometimes you eat the bar and much obliged. Sometimes the bar while he eats you.
Is that some kind of Eastern thing?
Sometimes you eat the bear, and sometimes the bear eats you. From The Big Lebowski there. As the backdrop to the new book, the Dude and the Zen Master. Joining us now from the studios of WNYC in New York is Jeff Bridges, Academy Award-winning actor, musician, activist. He's appeared in more than 70 films, was one of the youngest actors ever nominated for an Academy Award at 22 in 1972 for The Last Picture Show, and one of the oldest to win, Best Actor at 60 for Crazy Heart in 2010. He did Seabiscuit, Drew Grit, his R.I.P.D. comes out later this year. He's co-author with Bernie Glassman of the new book, The Dude and the Zen Master. Jeff Bridges, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Oh, great being here, Tom. Thanks.
Really nice to have you. Also with us from New York is Bernie Glassman, prominent American Zen Roshi, or teacher, or master, if you will, founder of the Zen Peacemaker Order of Buddhist social activists, author of many books on Buddhism, now including, with Jeff Bridges, The Dude and the Zen Master. Bernie Glassman, welcome. Wonderful to have you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Jeff, we've watched you in a lot of films for a long time. I and the dude and all the rest says in your material here that you're a devoutly practicing Zen Buddhist. What does that mean, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't know about devoutly. Let me explain something to you, man.
Please.
I am not the Zen master. I am the dude.
That's Bernie. We got it. We got it.
No, I mean, I've enjoyed all kinds of spiritual things ever since I was a kid, and I'm kind of Buddhistly bent. I must admit, things that I've read ring true to me, and. In my life, I notice guys like Bernie show up, and I'm attracted, and I say, oh, yeah, this feels good. And
are you sitting on a cushion for an hour a day doing that Zen thing?
I don't do an hour. I like to do maybe 20 minutes in the morning is kind of my speed, something like that. And then during the day, when I'm working, I will meditate, not only the formal, zazen kind of meditation, but kind of carrying that openness that you, I don't know how I'm going to say this, kind of you call forth when you meditate, to carry that on through the rest of the day. I tend to do that.
And into the work, we'll look at that. Bernie Glassman, I guess you're a big Buddhist then, our Zen master. You're a Roshi. What's that mean? What's a Roshi, Bernie?
Well, literally, it just means an old guy.
Okay.
So the Roshi is a Japanese word. Mm-hmm. R-O means old. And she means teacher. So it's an old teacher. I've been in Zen over 50 years, about 55 years, and I'm getting up there, so I can be called a Roshi.
Got it. What drew you to the Big Lebowski and Jeff?
Well, I'm of Jewish heritage. I was born in Brooklyn, and I saw the Big Lebowski on a DVD, not in the movies originally, but a couple of years or a year later, and it blew me over, man. So I just loved it, and saw it a few more times, and then wound up meeting this guy named Jeff Bridges. I had moved to Santa Barbara, and he lived in Santa Barbara, where we met, and I said, hey, that movie is some Zen classic. And he said, what the hell are you talking about, man?
right.
But anyway, it started like that.
Why? What makes The Big Lebowski a Zen classic to you, Roshi, Zen master?
Yeah. Well, to me, first of all, there's a lot of amazing lines which wind up in our book, and they wind up as chapter headings, but there's a lot of amazing lines in that book by various characters, not just the dude. But of course, they all come out of the Coen brothers. But there are a lot of lines which we could use, I could use in the teaching of Zen as questions or things to ponder.
Like what?
And then, like The Dude Abides is a classic one.
The Dude or Abides, okay.
Or, you know, when you hear The Dude Abides, you're normally going to think, well, that means you're going to be somewhere. We have a very famous statement that happened around 500 A.D. to one of what's considered this sort of the saint in Zen. He heard a line saying, abiding nowhere, raise the mind of compassion. So abiding nowhere means exactly that, not being attached to any idea or concept, which means abiding everywhere. So when I hear The Dude Abides, for me, that means the dude is everywhere and at the same time nowhere. There's no particular character that he's stylizing. It's whatever comes up in that moment, that's what he happens to be. You know, somebody p's on his rug and he's incensed, you know. And, you know, so it's...
And yet he abides.
That's what a Zen guy is supposed to be like. That is, you're living in the moment. When things come up, you're embodying them and dealing with what's coming up directly, not with some notion that you had.
But in there, in the moment. Jeff Bridges, do us a favor here. We have listeners, it is obvious, online and everywhere else, who have seen this film, many of them many times, but others who don't know anything about it. What's the story here that the dude is working his way through?
Oh, man. He's this guy who lives alone. You see him out shopping in a bathrobe. That's the image of him. And
laid back,
comes
indeed.
Home. He bought some milk for his White Russian.
Which he drinks. He bowls. He drinks White Russians. He hangs.
That's about. He hangs. Occasional little acid flashback.
Yeah.
And he comes home and he finds these guys have p- all over his rug, and he's incensed. And his good buddy John Goodman plays Walter. Starts to get him even more worked up and says, we've got to get this guy,
who
has the same name as you. And
yes.
It's what kind of takes off from there.
And there's a kidnapping, and he ends up in the middle of it, and mayhem all around.
And wonderful, wonderful characters.
You're careful to say you're not the dude, but this role has really stuck around with you, Jeff.
It's true, yeah.
I mean, why do you think people, why such a cult around this film and this character?
I think everybody's got some dude in them, you know. I think it feels good to be the dude. I sometimes I'm asked, do you mind people always recognizing you say, you're the dude. Is that you feel, hemmed in by that? And I really don't. I feel like he's a dear friend. And like I said, people, I think, can relate to that, and some people even aspire to be dude-like, you know.
Meaning my daughter, what, going with the flow? Or?
Yeah, my daughter the other day, she said that she was at a yoga class, and her yoga teacher was describing just watching your breath and how enjoyable that can be, and not to breathe, but kind of be breathed, you know. And she went on to say, you know, don't do so much, but be dude, you know.
Not to breathe, but be breathed. Yeah. We're getting very zen here already. Hey, Jeff Bridges, please stand by if you would there in New York. And Bernie Glassman, co-authors of the new book, The Dude and the Zen Master. The Dude, as in The Big Lebowski. Bob Dylan behind us right here, The Man in Me, from the soundtrack of that 1998 film. It's all about Zen Buddhism and life. You can join us. What do you want to know from the man who played the dude, from our Zen master, about being here now, about the Zen life, about creativity, purpose, happiness, death? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
Take a woman like you to get through.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with actor Jeff Bridges and Zen Buddhist Bernie Glassman about life, Zen, and lessons from Bridges' cult hit The Big Lebowski. Their new book is The Dude and the Zen Master. Behind us right here, the chanting of the Jizo Shingon, chanted by the Zen community of Oregon. Chanting, a musical form, religious recitation of out of Buddhism, Zen Buddhism in this case. The narrator of The Big Lebowski, cowboy-like character named The Stranger, Sam Elliott, serves as a source of wisdom for the dude abides. Here's the dude, having regained his enlightened persona, runs into the stranger one last time at the bowling alley bar.
How do you do, dude?
I wonder if I see you again.
I wouldn't miss the semis. How things been going?
You know, strikes and gutters, ups and downs.
Sure, I've got you.
Yeah. Thanks, Gary. Well, take care, man. Gotta get back.
Sure. Take it easy, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you will.
Yeah, well, the dude abides.
The dude abides, and off we go. The dude and the Zen master, Jeff Bridges and Bernie Glassman, join us from New York. Ray's calling from East Greenwich, Rhode Island. Ray, you're on the air with Jeff and Bernie. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Bernie.
Ray.
Hi. What a pleasure it is to speak to you, Jeff. I think your body of work is tremendous. And I think
thank you.
You're welcome. One of your strengths as a of the characters that you play is you make them so real and believable. I'm a recovering alcoholic, so I could certainly relate in an intimate way to Bad Blake. But your ability to make the characters believable, does Zen Buddhism have anything to do with that, with your ability to do that?
To enter the characters, make them believable? How about it, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. I was kind of practicing that stuff really before I got into Zen. Really, you know, it's just that emptying, which is a big part of Zen. But you know, I was kind of doing that, early on. You know, when my dad was teaching me the basics of acting, you know, he would put me through different paces, and he would say, don't just, wait for my mouth to stop talking and then say your line. You know,
right.
You got to let my line kind of inform you. You know, don't come in with it all, what you've got all prepared, and just wait for me to stop talking. And so really that is an openness that I find if I can, you know, conjure up before a scene. So it adds, I think, more real effect. You know, that's how we are in life. You don't know what's going to happen, you know. And in movies, you have a part to study, you have a script, but the idea is to, you know, learn your lines and do all that. But when you show up to actually be filmed, to create that openness and let the other characters and what's going on, you know, whether it be the other actors or the director or the guy who's doing the lights, all of that affect you, and it all kind of gets, a critical mass, and then it happens. You know, I don't know. Is that kind of,
I think she makes sense there. Bernie Glassman, you grab onto that as kind of metaphor for all life. I mean, Jeff Bridges may use it to create that openness or that spontaneity in acting. You are, as I read you here, and this is a sort of a edited transcript of several days of conversation you all had in Montana, I guess. But you're saying, grab onto that, have that openness, that kind of, I don't know, is it a floating, flowing quality that lets you go with all of life, not just a part?
Yeah, that's what Zen is about, and the practice of Zen that you might find in a Zen center or with a Zen teacher, this is not the only way of getting that kind of training. As Jeff was talking, he got that from his father and from his life.
Mm-hmm.
So I've met many people that know nothing about Zen or Buddhism, but are acting as accomplished Zen practitioners. Why? So what is it that you notice? You notice exactly what the listener was asking. You notice that the person is being fully who they are. They're not acting as if they're acting by some particular script that they've memorized. You know, when you go to hear a talk, sometimes you'll hear the person talking about something they know about,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you'll hear the person being what they're talking about, and it's a big difference, and we can see that. And so, same with anybody. And Jeff said, you know, like something comes up in life, or you said something comes up in life. If we have a script by which we're going to respond to what's coming up in life, it ain't gonna be full. You know, there's gonna be problems. If we're open, no script, we just, what comes up, we react to that.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful way of saying it, of itself, the flower is born.
Well, I don't think you can be in live radio and not go with that. I mean, there's a script at the top, and then boom, you're off and going. And
there you go.
I love that about it. And clearly you make that happen, Jeff Bridges, in your movies. Lots of callers. Burlington, Vermont, Emily, you're on the line with Jeff Bridges, Bernie Glassman.
Oh, hi. I'm so pleased. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, Emily.
How's it going?
It's going well.
I love the relationship suggestion between the dude and Zen. I think it's absolutely hilarious, just like the film itself. I don't know if it's Zen, but the nonchalance in a lot of the role, Julianne Moore questioning, like, what is this gash on your head? And I think the line is like, oh, you know, the chief of police in Malibu, real reactionary. It's hilarious. Like, every moment is just like, it's just such a gas. I love that movie. I was calling just to ask about whether either of you, and I'm excited for the prospect of this book, which until now I hadn't heard of, but if either of you have read Alan Watts, the Wisdom of Insecurity, A Message for the Age of Anxiety. I think it was written in the 60s. He's one of these, like, electric Kool-Aid acid test dudes.
Yeah, and man.
He also did the Way of Zen, which was later, and I think he was one of these people that had all of this, like, Eastern experience, this different way of thinking, and sort of brought it. And I'll take my answer off air. I just think you guys are great, and
awesome.
Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
I think you're right on Jeff's wavelength here. How about it, Jeff Bridges?
Oh, yeah, Emily. I'm a huge fan of Alan Watts. I think that, you know, the Wisdom of Insecurity, that was, you know, I read that, you know, back in the 60s. And he's had so many wonderful books, a book called The Book.
What's it mean? What's he saying, the wisdom of insecurity? It sounds like, insecurity, nobody wants that, uh-oh.
Well, it's that feeling, for me, it's that feeling of security, like it's that's the script, you know. And if you're just following the script, you're going to get kind of thrown, so it's kind of a, you know, the wisdom of openness and not knowing, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. I, you know, nothing to really, you know, great. Once you know, then, you know, you're going to trip, you know, you're going to fall. Something, you know, the universe is going to, you know, teach you that what you know is not necessary.
Right, so, right. A little narrow, maybe a little.
But
a little
Watts
rigid.
Watts is so cool. You know, he's, and for those who are interested, you know, he's got the Alan Watts podcast and all kinds of great recordings he's done. And Bernie, you were a fan of Watts, weren't you?
Bernie Glassman?
Well, when I first got interested in Zen, it was 1958. There was very little in English, and Alan Watts was one of those that was in English. So I read all of his stuff, and he doesn't talk much about the practice. But the philosophy and the stuff behind it, I would say that's one of the big things that got me more interested in Zen was reading Alan Watts.
Talk about what you just said, Bernie, about the difference between the practice and the philosophy.
Yeah, so I almost stuttered when I said it because the word practice used to mean, and still does to many people, meditation.
Sitting.
The sitting meditation. Uh-huh. I grew way past that and to where all of life is Zen. You know, it's not just sitting on a cushion. And in fact, as you've heard me a number of times say, Jeff, I quote this famous master who said that the way you can tell the depth of a person's enlightenment is how they serve others. So practice is now becomes, are you serving others? What are you doing in your life? What's your life like? Not just sitting on the cushion.
Does the old school roll with that, Bernie? I mean, would your old Japanese Roshi say, yeah, that's fine? Or would he say, get back in there and sit down and meditate?
Oh, well, he'd say both. Yeah, sit down and meditate. And the way you can tell the depth of a person's enlightenment is by how they serve others. The man who said that is considered to be the number one philosopher of all time of Japan. He lived in 500 AD in Japan. So it's not a lightweight that was saying that, and my Zen teacher would not be able to contradict that guy.
I've got our listeners are, they are some serious listeners, and they're in the moment. And so here's maybe a Buddhist writing it. This is Loring. And Loring says, Jeff Bridges, Burning Glassman, the dude lives. But isn't Zen Buddhism concerned with the access and discovery of higher consciousness and awakening to and transcending our psychological and social conditioning that has produced the robot that I call me, i.e. ego? This is a serious endeavor that requires strong intention to be free from ego, yet the dude appears to be blasé about this. Life is all about him and his ego, me, rowing down the stream, the whatever California state of mind. With all respect to Glassman, Roshi, and Jeff Bridges, I perceive the dude as narcissistic rather than Buddhist. Jeff, what do you say?
Yeah, what struck me with that is this word oneness. You know,
was both narcissistic and
Buddhist. How everything is connected. You know, you know the ego is somebody who's at the party, you know. You want to kick him out. You're going to get, you're going to really ruffle the waters up even more, I think. I think it's kind of getting to know him. This is from, I'm talking from my own personal thing. Don't try to, throw him out. You're going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know. But just to kind of work with him, you know. Dance with it a bit. I don't know. What do you think, Bern?
Yeah.
Dance with the ego? Is that work for a Zen Buddhist,
yeah.
Roshi?
First of all, Buddhism, I mean, Buddha means to awaken to, awaken to what? To awaken to the oneness of life, the interconnectedness of life. So once you say that, once you understand that that's what Buddhism is about, helping us to realize and actualize the oneness of life, there is nothing you can kick out, man.
Right.
I mean, because whatever you're kicking out, that says, I see this is not the right thing, you know? You've made that disconnect. You've made that disconnect. And you start not serving those. So yeah, I'm not serving the one that I think is full of ego. Oh, man, that's me, you know. So the Buddhism is strictly about, it's really simple, it's strictly about realizing and actualizing the interconnectedness of life, the oneness of life.
You write in the book, Bernie, you say, in Zen, when we push people to realize the state of not knowing, completely letting go, we'll use phrases like, you've got to kill yourself. What we really mean is that you have to get into the state of the dude is not in. It's a little like you say, live as if you're gone, live without attachment to who or what
Jeff
is. Yeah,
not like you're gone, but with no attachments.
With no attachments. For people who don't know Zen, that can sound like, you know, attachments, you don't care, you know, whatever.
No, yeah. But it turns out that if you don't have any particular attachments are keeping you from caring. They're forcing you to focus on those things that you're attached to and letting go of all the rest. So you're attached to some particular idea like transcendence or whatever. And that means you're not caring about everybody who doesn't care about transcendence, you know. So if you have no attachments, now you're caring about the whole thing. It's like in your body. Can you imagine if you look at your body and say, well, man, I'm attached to my fingers, and my fingers are the main thing, and I want everything else to look like my fingers. Well, then I'm not caring about the rest of my body.
That's too much finger. I get it. But Jeff Bridges, I mean, it's clear in your conversation here with Bernie, you're attached to your wife, longtime wife, Sue. You're attached to your ranch in Montana, where you talked about this. You're attached to the work of your career. Those all seem like attachments to a layperson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an attached guy. I'm attached to all kinds of
So where's your practice, brother?
Practice is to dig my attachment, for one thing. I mean, to say, oh, look how you're attached to that. Isn't that interesting? You know, do you want to do that? Do you want to be attached? Well, yeah, I'm kind of digging. Just kind of, you know, I don't know. It's like I was saying before, this phrase about being dude, you know, and just being noticed. What you're doing, you know, notice what's going on. Notice, you know, that you're attached to these things, and what are the ramifications of that attachment? And is that something wise? Do you want to continue doing that, or you know, I don't know. It's like an openness, but I certainly don't claim to be an unattached cat. You know, sometimes I am, sometimes I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to pipe in here and say I've never met anyone in my life that you could say was totally unattached. I remember once in a workshop I was doing, I had two sheets of paper, and I had people saying, put on one sheet a list of all the people that they thought were enlightened or totally unattached. And on another sheet, all the people that they thought had some attachments. On the sheet that listed all the people who they thought didn't have any attachments were always people they had never met.
Or were dead. That figures. Bernie, hold it. We got to take a break here. Bernie Glassman, Jeff Bridges, they've put together the book, The Dude and the Zen Master. Jeff Bridges and the Abiders behind us, his band with Nothing Yet. You can join us. Are you Zen? Do you want to be? 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with actor Jeff Bridges and Zen Buddhist Bernie Glassman about life, Zen, and lessons from Bridges' cult hit, The Big Lebowski. Their new book, co-authored, is The Dude and the Zen Master. You know who's who behind us right here, inspired by a Buddhist invocation from Zen Roshi Bernie Glassman. Buddhist hymn, Gates of Sweet Nectar and Hanuman Chalisa, set to music performed by Krishna Das. The Dude Played by Jeff Bridges, has a powerful cult following, in part due to his laid-back, kind of zen persona. Here, from The Big Lebowski, the dude and his bowling buddy Walter, John Goodman, squabble over the spirit of the game.
Smokey, this is not Nam. This is bowling. There are rules.
Hey, Walter, come on. It's just, hey, man, it's Smokey. So his toe slipped over a little, you know? It's just a game, man.
It's just a game, man. Walter, John Goodman, his bowling partner, challenges him plenty. Goodman's a Vietnam vet. Here, Walter takes aim at the dude's pacifism after Walter, John Goodman, pulls a gun out at the bowling alley.
Pacifism is not something to hide behind.
Just take it easy, man.
I'm perfectly calm, dude.
Yeah, wave a gun around?
Calmer than you are.
You just take it easy.
Calmer than you are.
Calmer than you are. Jeff Bridges, the guy with the gun, is calmer than you, so who's the Zen master here?
We are one.
Love him.
Oh, my God. Isn't this some, what a great movie that is. I can't, I just love that movie, man.
Oh, Bernie, what do we learn right there? The guy with the gun, calmer than you are, and he sounds that way. How about it, Bernie?
Yeah.
What's the message, Zen master? The man with the gun is calmer than the frantic guy saying, put the gun away.
Yeah, yeah. So we have way of studying. One way of studying in Zen is posing these so-called koans, which literally are questions or statements that you can't answer intellectually, but you have to present in your full being.
Yes.
And one of them is... one not so well-known koan is, how do you stop the fighting across the river? So Walter is presenting it, man. Yeah. And those who don't understand Zen don't understand that anything presenting itself as itself, that is Zen. You know? It's when you do commentary that you get away from what Zen
is. So the dude is being very Zen and saying, you know... freaking out, right?
Yeah, because the dude is freaking out.
Freaking out is not unzen.
At all. And Walter saying, "I'm calmer than you, man." That's not unzen either. It's the person who looks at either of those and says, "Oh, that's not zen." That's who's not zen.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, Jeff, think of you as dude-like. Whether you are or not, you kind of present that way most of the time, or you seem to in public. I mean, you write pretty candidly in the book about how you've got your anxieties, too. Brian writes to us on Facebook. He says, what makes Bridges anxious? He seems like a very in-control person. Why Zen, Brian asks.
So I kind of missed that. You say, what makes him, and then why Zen?
What makes you anxious, and why Zen, I guess, as the, if you are, or sometimes, as the remedy?
Oh, why? Yeah. Oh, God. I guess I'm anxious by, coming up with the goods, performing. You know, that's a very anxiety-provoking thing. Or
even now,
be.
I mean, you're not a kid.
Oh, sure. Oh, it's terrible.
Really?
You know, one of my things, I think I mentioned it in the book, I just got a chance to work with Kevin Bacon in this movie, R.I.P.D.
Yeah, coming out this summer.
And I love it when we would, do a scene. And like you say, I've been doing it for a long time now, so I'm kind of used to being anxious about things, And most actors have a little of that going. And so before we do a scene, and it wasn't a particularly big scene, but Kevin looks at all the actors, and, he makes eye contact with us all, and he says, now remember, everything depends on this.
The weight of the world.
It was a wonderful thing because, of course, it took all your, it took all your anxiety and just blew it away like a dandelion because you realize that's not true. But at
laughable.
The same time, the extra little spin on it for me was that, in a way, everything does depend on this because this is right now.
Yes.
So now let's just cook, man. Let's just bring it all. Bee!
Put it on there.
Yeah, and Zen seems to be kind of calling, say, hey, let's do that.
I love you, and
there's a lot of Watts, brings it out. There's a lot of philosophy around it about that, and then there's the actual doing of it. And I find both very very attractive. I'm just kind of naturally drawn towards it.
I love to think of you and Kevin Bacon in that situation. You write kind of metaphor for film acting and the process of making a movie, but also maybe for life. You write about what you call the snake and the snake skin, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Can you take us into that a little bit? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, let's see. Well, yeah, I look at movies often as a snake's hand, sort of a byproduct of the actual thing that went down, you know.
The real interactions between people and cameras.
And all of that stuff. And mm-hmm. when I see one of my movies, it's very hard for me not to see it as sort of a home movie. You know, I remember, I had, you know, lunch after that, you know, with that, we had that great conversation. I get distracted with what my mind is saying, and it's hard for me to follow the movie. I got to see it three or four times.
Yeah.
For me, the real thing, the cool, the living deal is the actual, doing of the film, and the movie is a very, you know, beautiful byproduct that's all polished up and presented, you know.
Let's go to Francis in West Palm Beach, Florida. Francis, you're on with Jeff Bridges and Bernie Glassman. Thanks for calling, Francis.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey there, Francis.
If I'm not mistaken, didn't I see you in, it was a very haunting movie way back, Cutter's Way?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was very haunting to me. There are two characters. One is disabled, I think, from the war, and your character sees something terrible, and it's how, I guess the movie is about how both characters, what they decide to do about it or not do about it.
Yeah.
And it was just so haunting to me, and every time I see it, because I rent it and look at it again, I see something different in the characters. I guess I just wanted to kind of get your input on that.
Yeah, it was a wonderful film. I've got great memories as you were just talking about it. I remember working with Yvonne Passer and John Hurd, I thought he was so brilliant in that.
Yeah.
And Lisa Eichhorn, she was so great. And another thing that kind of strikes me, if you remember at the end of that movie, they were trying to figure out how to end the thing. Whether, you know, I shoot the bad guy or not, if John shoots the bad guy or how it's going to end. And the director finally came up with, let's just go black. Let's just stop it.
Done.
And it's kind of effective. I guess you could do it to any movie. And that one, I think it kind of worked, but it was a surprise. I remember when I stopped it. You don't know, you know, what's going to happen, you know, and... You recall that
before
caller?
The Sopranos?
Maybe the Sopranos ripped us, man. That's maybe. Kind of what they did.
Do you remember that, Francis? Francis in West Palm Beach.
Yes.
Fade to black,
and then you're like, you have to go with the thoughts in your mind. Well,
there you go.
What next? And what could have been next? And
yeah, what would you do?
Yeah.
Well, here's a little Big Lebowski wisdom on that front, Jeff Bridges. The dude tries to achieve inner peace and defuse a confrontation with bowling rival Quintana, played by John Turturro.
I see you roll your way into the semis. Dios mio, man. Liam and me, we're going to f*** you up.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Our Zen dude, that's just like your opinion, man. Robert in Plainville, Connecticut. Robert, you're on the air with Jeff Bridges and Bernie Glassman.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people in this country that probably once or twice a year sits in front of a television in his bathroom, picks up a batch of Caucasians, watches the movie, and lasts for a while. But as far as the Zenist of the dude, I hear you say that, yeah, he says to Walter, it's just a game. But how can you say it's just a game when... You know, you can relax on the floor of your apartment, lying on a rug, which you stole, listening to the audio tape replays of the balls rolling down the alley and hitting the pins. It's like you're listening to, you know, some resurgence of some religion, you know.
It's like Zen and the Art of White Russians there.
Well, it's just the game, but
you may say it's just a game, but yet the character... can sit there and listen to the fact that you know, the ball, just the art of the roll of the ball rolling down the alley and making contact with the pins. I think it's a great scene.
Yeah, he deeply digs the game, man. He's really into the game.
Jeff, I wish you'd read something for us. Have you got the book there?
Oh, yeah.
Page 256. It's your chapter, Say Friend, You Got Any More of That Good Sarsaparilla? Or Sarsaparilla.
What is it, 256?
257, I guess, actually. 257, right across from there. And you say that when you turned 60, a couple of years ago now, you read the Buddhist Five Remembrances. And it's just, I wonder if you'd read us those Five Remembrances. Yeah. Would you mind to get us in your groove?
Sure. When I turned 60, I read the Buddhist Five Remembrances. Let's see if I can remember them. First one is, I am of the nature to grow old. There is no way to escape growing old. Second one is, I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape ill health. Number three, I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. Number four, all that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. And number five, my actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand.
Jeff Bridges, who read himself those Buddhist Five Remembrances when he turned 60. And you know, Jeff, I mean, a lot of us have known you since you were a kid. You were acting with your brother and your dad, Lloyd. And, I mean, there you were, last picture show, 22 years old, up for an Academy. We have known you a long time. So when you read that and seem to kind of prepare to accept that, maybe it's a rite of passage for us as well. But can you really make all those, do you really accept those things, or do you fight them, or how's it work?
Those all really ring true for me.
Yes.
Very much so. Yes. Yeah. And as I'm getting older and my mortality, I'm feeling it a little closer to me. They're even ringing truer. You know, the sound of that bell is getting louder.
Yeah. What, Bernie, you write there that those remembrances come out of the Buddha story. When he sort of leaves the life that he knew and prepares for a new existence, right?
Exactly. And so he's this very wealthy prince. He leaves his young wife and young child. But before he leaves, one of the reasons he does this is that as a wealthy prince, he goes out and he sees somebody very sick.
Yeah.
And he had been kept from that. He had been taught that there's, hey, man, you just have to have money. You have to be very strong and whatever.
Everything will be
and
fine.
Anything, yeah. And he hadn't seen these other things. So now he sees somebody sick and he realizes, hey, sickness occurs. You know,
mm-hmm.
I can't stop that. It occurs. Then he's on another trip and he sees an old person dying. And he realizes that can't stop. So all these remembrances are things that he's seeing. And then he says, hey, I've been trained and taught to have all these expectations that everything is going to be A-OK, no other problems. And guess what? New shit has come to light.
To quote the Big Lebowski.
It's come to light all the time. That is, he called it change.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the Lebowski, it's called new shit has come to light. And so he decides to try to figure out what is this all about, you know? And that starts his quest.
I don't want to ignore the beautiful way in which both of you do take this far off the cushion into service, as you said, Bernie. I mean, you do... you're sort of bearing witness in Auschwitz and your work with the homeless and work for employment for people who don't have jobs. And Jeff, I mean, you as well, that your No Kid Hungry campaign, Share Our Strength, the End Hunger Network and all the rest. Does Zen move you to do that, Jeff, or was that Lloyd and your mom moving you to do that somewhere back in the back of your mind?
Yeah, I would think that's more mom and dad influence probably. Yeah, but you know, Bernie and I have been worked together on that as well. So it kind of it flows well with you know, with Zen.
Bernie?
And it also that last remembrance, you know, that really mm-hmm. what the only the real thing is are my actions, you know, and you know.
So act in service in that case.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good. We're going to leave that one for the dude and you, Jeff Bridges, and you, Bernie Glassman. They sat down for 5 days at Jeff Bridges' ranch in Montana, and their conversation is now the book, The Dude and the Zen Master. Well, with a little more from The Big Lebowski, what just dropped in, Kenny Rogers in the first edition from the movie. Bernie Glassman, thank you for your Roshi insight and your time today. Thank you so much for joining us in New York.
Thank you for having me.
And Jeff Bridges, please keep doing it. We'll look for RIPD, and thank you for the book and for your time today.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Good talking to you.
Bernie Glassman, Jeff Bridges. The book is The Dude and the Zen Master. I'm Tom Ashbrook. Thanks for joining us. Tomorrow we'll talk about new playlists for 2013, new music for a new year. This is On Point.
8 miles out of Memphis and I got no square. 8 miles straight up downtown somewhere. I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. See what condition my condition was in.